Hi, welcome back to the channel. This video is a roundup of some of the latest news and events from the world of business and finance. I've picked out a few stories that I think are interesting, relevant, and informative, and might also give you an idea in terms of investments. So we've talked a lot about Turkey and the devaluation of the Turkish lira recently, and I've been asked a lot of questions as to what happens if a country does go bankrupt. And in today's video, I'm going to talk to you about a country whose currency was devalued to the point where they stopped using it and they've now tried to reintroduce it. So we'll talk a little bit about what happens when your currency becomes completely worthless. I'll tell you about the largest tech startup from India, which is now planning a listing in New York through a SPAC. And they're having a beauty parade right now. There are four or five different SPACs that are vying for that position. So that could be a potential very high risk investment for anybody who's interested in putting money into SPACs. I'll provide an update on what's happening with coal and oil prices, and we'll see what's happening in India relating to that, because India tends to be a lot more sensitive than the rest of Asia in terms of the movement of those prices, and provides an early warning system for the rest of the global economy. We'll have a look at what's happening in Australia, which is the latest country to announce that it is stopping its quantitative easing program. And finally today, I'll tell you about a guy who tabled the most outrageous bonus demand I've ever heard of in my life. So before we get into all of that, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, and please also subscribe if you haven't done so already. And if you have time, please pop a comment into the boxes below. And don't forget that I include chapters in all my videos. So if there's something in today's video that you're not that interested in, it's really easy to skip forward and move on to the next topic. So the Turkish lira fell by over 40% in 2021. And in the last 3 months of the year, we saw a devaluation of around about 20%. So there is a major crisis going on in Turkey right now, and the government is doing everything they can to try to maintain the value of their currency. A lot of people have asked me, what happens if a currency continues to devalue? And there's a lot of different examples around the world where this has happened. But today I'm going to talk about Zimbabwe, which is an African country that got itself into major difficulties in the late 90s and early 2000s when they had a lot of political unrest. The Zimbabwe dollar was introduced in 1980 when the country changed its name from Rhodesia to Zimbabwe. And due to a variety of different political decisions in the country, inflation started to take off in the early 2000s. Now, this led to a period of hyperinflation where we saw inflation rising at more than 100%. And in fact, at periods, it was over 1,000%. Now, what happens in those circumstances is that the local currency quickly becomes devalued. So the $100 note that you've got in your pocket buys less and less every single day. And that generally means that the bank has to issue more and more notes and that the size of those notes keeps increasing. And there comes a point when you're doing that you have to then denominate your currency. So in August 2006, Zimbabwe undertook a denomination where it changed all of its banknotes from the old dollars to the new dollars, and the exchange rate was 1,000 to 1. So if you had an old 1,000 Zimbabwe dollar note, it was now worth one new Zimbabwe dollar. So even though they'd reset the numbers, the currency was actually worth 1,000 times less than it had been worth previously. And that's basically because inflation was rampant and prices were rising so rapidly that you needed to spend $1,000 to buy something that was actually worth $1. Now, unfortunately, denominating your currency doesn't actually solve the root cause of the problem. The cause of the problem is inflation. And as inflation got more and more out of control in Zimbabwe, then more and more zeros started to be added to the number of dollars that you had to pay for everything. And in July 2008, Zimbabwe undertook a second denomination. And this time there was a massive reduction in the value of the currency. So the exchange rate for the second new Zimbabwe dollar was actually 10 billion to one. So if you had a $10 billion banknote, then you could exchange that for one of the new Zimbabwe dollars. And of course, that didn't solve the inflation problem either. And Zimbabwe holds the record for the largest denominated banknote ever issued. In 2009, the Reserve Bank of Zimbabwe issued a $100 trillion note. $100 trillion. That is one followed by 14 zeros. And at that time, 100 trillion Zimbabwe dollars was enough to buy you a loaf of bread. So the good news at that time was that everybody in Zimbabwe was a trillionaire. But the bad news was that you needed to be a trillionaire just to buy a loaf of bread. So what this story shows you is that when inflation gets out of control and you have to keep paying more and more and more of your local currency to buy goods, then your local currency becomes worthless in the international markets because nobody around the globe wants to buy something that's devaluing that rapidly. So what happened in 2009 was that Zimbabwe abandoned their own currency and moved to using the US dollar. And the problem with doing that is that the central bank then loses all control over its own economy. And one of the other problems is that it's really difficult to reintroduce your currency because nobody has any faith in it. So in 2019, Zimbabwe did reintroduce its own dollar. And at that point, it pegged the Zimbabwe dollar on a one-to-one basis to the US dollar. But unfortunately, the people of Zimbabwe have been reluctant to accept the local currency. The currency is legal tender and is accepted in shops and restaurants. However, you will find there are two different prices and it is much cheaper. And it's much cheaper to buy things using US dollars than it is Zimbabwe dollars. And when people have Zimbabwe dollars, they want to get rid of them as quickly as possible because the value is falling on a daily basis. Inflation is still a major problem in Zimbabwe and was up over 800% in July 2020. And the latest figure reported for January 2022 is 61%. So the ongoing problems that Zimbabwe are facing is that everybody wants to be paid in US dollars, including government workers. So all of your officials who are working for the country want to be paid in dollars. And the problem for the government and the authorities is that they don't have any dollars. Unless a country has a lot of natural resources that the rest of the world needs to buy, it's really difficult to bring in foreign currency. And that's what's happening in Turkey right now. The government of Turkey are desperately trying to source as many dollars as they can, but they don't have anything to offer to bring that in. So they're having to ask the people of Turkey and the companies of Turkey to give them their dollars, and they're having to offer things like citizenship in exchange for foreign currency. So the story of Zimbabwe is a cautionary tale for any countries where inflation is out of control. If you get to the point where your currency becomes worthless and nobody wants it, then it's really difficult to pull that back. And you're then going to have to take on the US dollar, which puts your economy in a very difficult situation going forward. I've talked a lot about SPACs on this channel, and I'm also often asked about what's going on in India. Why don't you cover off any big Indian companies or any tech businesses? And I've now got a story that combines both of these. We are looking at the largest startup coming out of India in the last few years, which is now looking to list in New York through a SPAC merger. Byju's is an online tutoring business that is based in India, and it was established by its founder Byju Ravindran in 2011. Now, as you may be aware, education is highly valued in India, and online tutoring is very popular as it's a way of supplementing the standard school day. With a population of 1.4 billion, India represents a huge market. And the founder went out and raised money in the international markets. He got an investment from the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, which is the philanthropic investment vehicle of Mark Zuckerberg and his wife, Priscilla Chan, as well as a variety of international private equity firms. The business quickly established itself as the largest player in the market and also went around acquiring other competitors to make sure that it was the dominant player. And this is a premium product in India. The basic courses start at $50, which is high compared to the average earnings. But despite this, they have 6 million paying users and the monthly retention rate is over 85%. And of course, the lockdown and the pandemics has been really beneficial for this particular company. A lot of the schools have been closed for long periods of time over the last 18 months. And this has meant that a lot of the population have moved towards Byju's and the online tutoring model. So the company so far has raised over $1 billion and is now looking to list in New York, where it would like to have a valuation of somewhere in the region of $50 billion and to raise around about $4 billion of new money to fund further growth of the business. And as we've discussed before, the easiest and the quickest way to achieve a listing today is to merge your business with a SPAC. And a SPAC is a special purpose acquisition company. And these are essentially cash shells that are listed in New York waiting to merge with something. They're established by entrepreneurs with a track record for delivering deals. And the Bijou's deal has got the SPAC community really excited. And there is a bidding war going on right now with all of these guys pitching their ideas and their pricing to Bijou's to try to win this transaction. So I've got no idea which SPAC will win this deal. But what I do know is that the share price of the SPAC that announces the merger with Bijou's will spike. It will go up significantly upon that announcement. So I thought it'd be interesting to let you know of some of the discussions that are going on right now. Churchill is a SPAC that's been set up by Michael Klein, who's a seasoned professional. And Churchill has teamed up with Lauren Powell Jobs, who is the wife of the late Steve Jobs from Apple. And they've just pitched a proposal to Bijou's, whereby apparently Churchill will invest 500 million of the 1 billion that Bijou's is looking to raise in its PIPE. And a PIPE is the deal that is done before the merger. It's the acronym for Private Investment in Public Equity. And all companies do this prior to the merger to give them a war chest to be able to pay for all of the marketing and all of the expenses associated with the SPAC deal itself. And apparently alongside that offer, they've also put forward a proposal whereby Bijou's can be introduced to both Apple and Microsoft in the US to expand their overseas operations. MSD Acquisition Corp is another of the SPACs that's vying for this deal. And they've apparently come in with an aggressive pricing strategy and are looking at a top end valuation of $52 billion for Bijou's. Screaming Eagle is an amusingly named SPAC who've also come in with an aggressive offer and said that they will match any other transaction. Now, I personally don't like people who operate on that basis because that's not innovative. That's not putting forward a deal. That's just saying, I'll let somebody else do all the work and I'll match it. I don't know why anybody would ever agree to those transactions. Lazy, lazy sort of financing in my view. And the final SPAC that I'm aware of that's in discussions with Bijou's is Altimeter, who have their Altimeter Growth 2 SPAC listed right now. And if that name rings a bell, then you may have seen them on the video that I posted on Grab, which is the Southeast Asian version of Uber, that listed in New York through a merger with Altimeter Growth. So as I said, I've got no idea which SPAC will be successful. It could even be another SPAC that I haven't named, but I just wanted to run you through the process to talk about what's happening. So Bijou are negotiating now with all of these SPAC guys. And of course, the reason that these SPAC guys are coming in so aggressively is that they hold shares in the SPAC today. So anybody who sets up a SPAC owns all of those shares. And then when you complete the merger with a company like Bijou's, the share price will rise from $10 that it's listed at today to who knows what. It could be $50, it could go to $100. So all of the investment that those individuals have in the SPAC right now could increase 5 or 10 times within the next couple of months if they can complete this deal. So they've got a very large personal interest in the transaction right now. So that's why they're coming out and trying to win this deal. They don't really care about the very, very long-term view of what these shares are going to be worth. But interestingly, MSD that I just mentioned, those guys have put forward a proposal whereby they will lock in all of their existing shareholdings for 36 months. So that's basically saying, we're so confident that we think you've got long-term value, we won't sell any of our holdings for the next 3 years. Now that might just be a negotiating tactic, don't know, but it's interesting to look at how these deals are put together and why the guys behind the SPAC are so keen to find a company to merge with, because basically it guarantees instant wealth for those people. Talked a lot on this channel about energy prices, and the rise in energy prices is one of the main factors for the high levels of inflation all around the world right now. And this week we've seen oil hit $90 a barrel. So the first time in 7 years that we're back up at these astronomical levels. And JP Morgan have forecast that oil could go to $125 a barrel. And the main driver on the rise in oil price is the reduction in supply. And we're also seeing continued rises in coal prices. And the reason for the continued rise in demand for coal is that it's used in a lot of power stations all across the world to generate electricity. Now, as I mentioned at the start of this video, India is one of the early warning countries in terms of what the impact of rising prices will be on an economy. India tends to be a lot more price sensitive than all of the rest of Asia. And in January, we've seen an indication that demand is starting to slacken off in India as a result of these increase in prices. India is the second largest importer of coal in the world after China and can definitely be seen as the canary in the coal mine here. In the past, India has sourced a lot of its coal from Indonesia, but you may have seen in a recent video that I posted that Indonesia recently introduced a ban on all exports to protect its own coal reserves that were getting low. As a result of this, Australia is now the largest supplier of coal into India. And the price of coal has risen dramatically. In November, the average price was around about $150. In January, that was up to over $260. And the volume of coal that India imported in January was down to 12.4 million tons compared to 16.1 million in November. So quite a marked reduction in the volumes. And as you'll know, if you've been following the recent posts on Turkey, if a country can't afford to keep buying in the raw material that it needs to produce electricity, then that will ultimately cause blackouts in the country and electricity to be switched off. And that has a major impact on industry and exports. So it does have a direct impact on the economy of that country if they can't afford to keep buying in the materials they need to generate power. So that's just a quick heads up, early warning notification. It might be a short-term blip. Prices may start to come back down, but we're not seeing that yet. We're seeing oil prices go higher and higher. Coal prices have continued to go up. Liquefied natural gas prices are also rising. So we're not really seeing any let up in terms of the inflation of energy prices. And at some point, this will cause problems in more and more economies. We've seen it in Turkey already. It's likely that we could see this happening in more countries around the world unless we see a reduction in these prices. Australia is the latest country to announce that it is ending its fiscal support. It's stopping its quantitative easing program. At the end of 2020, the Reserve Bank of Australia started buying $4 billion of bonds in the markets each week. And in total, they're now up to around about $350 billion of issuance over the last 18 months or so. The latest inflation figures show that inflation is now running at 3.5% in Australia, which compares to the target rate of somewhere between 2 and 3%. So it's now at a much higher level than the bank is comfortable with. And in order to try to bring that back down to a manageable level, they've announced that they will be stopping their quantitative easing program. Now, this follows on from similar announcements that we've seen in the US, the UK and Canada. So we're now seeing less fiscal support from all of the big economies around the world. And this will lead to a slowdown in growth. No question about it. The RBA have decided not to increase interest rates yet, so they're still running at 0.1%, an incredibly low level. But as with all of the other developed countries around the world, we will see interest rate increases coming over the next few months in Australia. So the story in all economies around the world right now is the same. We've got high levels of inflation, we've got low interest rates, and we did have a lot of quantitative easing. The quantitative easing has stopped. We're now going to see increasing interest rates. And the key question is, will we see inflation starting to come down? And finally today, I wanted to talk about pay. Now, this is an issue that affects all of us. We all want to be paid more. We all like to grumble about the fact that we're not being paid enough and we're doing a great job and it's not fair that I only got a small pay rise. And if you're in a job where you get paid a bonus, you'll be hoping every year that you're going to get a really good bonus. You're going to get that really big payout that you've always dreamed about. And if your boss asks you, how much do you think you should be paid? It's a very difficult question to answer. Some people are quite conservative. Some people are a bit shy. Some people don't really like to ask for more money. So it's always a bit of a quandary as to what do you say if somebody says to you, how much do you think you should be paid? But that isn't a problem for Marcelo Claude. This guy is a rock star banker. He's a legend and he's not afraid to put his money where his mouth is. Now, you've probably never heard of Marcelo Claude, but this guy is a Bolivian national who's been living a rockstar lifestyle in the world of finance. So at his 40th birthday, he had Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony perform. And he likes to be seen rubbing shoulders at sporting events with the likes of David Beckham. And if you're looking for a new mantra or philosophy in life, then look no further than Marcelo Claude, who recently tweeted, "Never settle for less than what you are worth. That's the day you stop believing in yourself." Now, Mr. Claude was hired by SoftBank to sort out some of their problems. And most recently, he's been involved with WeWork. And WeWork is a massive investment that SoftBank made that was due to float in New York, but the IPO got pulled. And they're now looking at a major loss situation. Now, Marcelo Claude likes to negotiate a good deal for himself. So his salary is currently sitting at $3 million per year. And in 2020, he got paid a performance-related bonus of $14 million. So his total take-home in 2020 was $17 million. But that was nowhere near good enough for Marcelo Claude. He was disgusted with that sort of return. And it's reported that he negotiated a golden parachute of $180 million for his WeWork transaction. So a golden parachute is basically a payoff that you're guaranteed if you ever leave the company. So he knows that if he gets forced out of SoftBank, he's got a guaranteed $180 million waiting for him. So as I said, Marcelo Claude wasn't very happy with his $14 million bonus. So this year he upped the ante and demanded that he needed to be paid $2 billion. Now, not surprisingly, the SoftBank board decided not to give him a $2 billion bonus, and he has now left the company. But as I mentioned, he's got that $180 million golden parachute waiting for him. So my view here is that Marcelo Claude probably just wanted to up the ante to get his $180 million and go and find another job, paying him even more money. And he probably sat at home and thought, what's the most outrageous figure that I'm prepared to put onto the table to see what these guys do about it? So $2 billion seems like a pretty outrageous figure to me. That would have made him one of the highest paid people in the world. Not quite in Elon Musk's bracket, but getting there. Anyway, hats off to Marcelo Claude. He just increased his bonus from $14 million last year to $180 million this year. So good luck to him. So hopefully you've enjoyed today's video and you found the content informative, interesting and useful, and maybe put a bit of a smile on your face at the end. If you've liked what I've said today, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.